The Northern Waters Land Trust is a nonprofit conservation organization working to protect water quality and preserve environmentally sensitive lands and water resources. They were formerly the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation, and they serve the watersheds in Cass, Crow Wing, Hubbard, and Aiken counties of Minnesota. They represent 2,235 lakes, 3,400 miles of rivers and streams, and nearly 4.2 million acres. Joining us now is John Sumption, Land Conservation Specialist, as well as Annie Johnson, Grants Manager and Conservation Specialist. Thanks for being with us today, you guys. We're beginning the first of some monthly conversations with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And thanks, Heidi and John, for having us on this morning. This was great.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit more. Tell us, dive into a little bit about what you actually do at the Northern Waters Land Trust.
Well, the Northern Waters started out actually in 1995 as the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation. Actually, before that, it was a pilot project started by DNR to help coordinate efforts between local people and watersheds in order to enact conservation projects and things like that. So we've been around officially for 25 years. Initially, as the name implied, we pretty much worked in the Leech Lake area. And as over the years, people would say, well, would you do this for us? I mean, people outside of our immediate area. And then we, in 2009-10, when the Outdoor Heritage Fund money became available, people said, gee, we need somebody to help apply for this money and help administer some grants. And so we kind of expanded, broadened our range there. And then starting maybe 2016, 2017, people started, for instance, in Aiken County said, so why are you down here working with us, with the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation? So our board decided it was maybe a good idea to change our name to something that was a little more representative of the area we served and some of the projects that we were doing. So that's how, you know, that's my elevator speech about how we got to where we are at this point as an organization. We have an elected board of directors, as is fairly common with any nonprofit, and who represent all of our service area in the four counties. And it's a thriving organization.
Well, tell us a little bit about, so, you know, you talked about if people contact you, what are some of the reasons people are contacting you, and what kind of things are they looking for from you?
Yeah, so when we have property owners contact us, there's two options for property owners. And our two methods of conservation are through conservation easements and fee title acquisitions. And when property owners are contacting us, they're wanting to conserve their land. And a conservation easement is a great way for property owners who want to continue owning their land, but they want to make sure that their land is conserved in perpetuity or forever. So a conservation easement is an agreement that limits further development on your land, but still allows you to continue owning your land and continue using your land in the way that you love. But it's a wonderful way to pass down your conservation legacy to future generations. Make sure you have that stamp of conservation on your land, because you worked hard for the land that you have maintained and you want it to stay that way. So that's one option for landowners who are contacting us. And then another option is fee title acquisitions. And this is a great route for landowners who are looking to sell their land or donate their land, but they still want to make sure that their habitat on their land is protected and their land also has that stamp of conservation on it. So a landowner could donate their land or sell their land. And then we would convey that land to a government agency such as the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, or the U.S. Forest Service, or local county, or another conservation organization like the Nature Conservancy. So we're kind of that middle person that helps landowners convey their land into a forever conserved state.
What happens if I take a conservation easement on my land, but at some point either I or my family decides that they want to sell the land? Does the conservation easement remain? Can the new buyer negate it? Can they opt out of it? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. So when you put a conservation easement on your land, that conservation easement is within the title of the property. So that's forever. No matter who owns that property, mm-hmm. Down the line, that conservation easement is forever on that property. And it can't be taken off. So it's a good question. And it's a nice peace of mind for property owners who are putting a conservation easement on their land, because they know if it's passed along to someone who's not a part of their family in the future and didn't have the same goals for it, it's going to be conserved no matter what.
If we just had somebody that could give us a testimonial about how that works.
Yes, Heidi, please share.
Yeah, I live on a property that when we bought it had a conservation easement on it. And so that's where we've lived for the last 16 years. And we didn't know much about it. We loved the property there. And I don't, you know, I think if it hadn't had an easement, probably things wouldn't be that different than what we do right now. But we, you know, we're able to use the land. We have trails. We have, you know, it's a great place. And, you know, we have someone come visit us a couple times a year to make sure we're not building condos out on the back trails or that kind of thing. But yeah, it's been a great thing for us. And I think just automatically in moving in, we had more of a connection and love of that land, because we knew the person that came before us loved it and wanted to make sure it was still there. So it's been pretty cool for us, I would say. If someone, are there different terms of a conservation easement? I mean, for us, we can't put up buildings and that kind of thing, but can people choose different things about their easements, or how does it work?
Heidi, no two conservation easements are ever alike, because every family, every landowner has different wants and needs. And you may say, well, I want it completely conserved. I don't want anything to ever happen on this property. Or you may say, well, we definitely want to keep our building site the way it is, and we want to be able to add some, you know, buildings, or we don't want our building site included in the easement. We just want to conserve other parts of the property. We've got two kids and we'd like to preserve two future building sites for them to use. So, I mean, other than some of the basic tenants, Annie mentioned that, subdivision and development of the property are precluded. And you can't build your condos, Heidi, in the back.
Right.
But there's very strict rules about, for instance, shorelines, about not disturbing natural vegetation along shorelines, things like that. Other than that, most of the other terms are negotiable.
We're talking with John Sumption and Annie Johnson from Northern Waters Land Trust. We just got a caller question. Does a conservation easement affect the value of the property?
The answer to that is yes. It has, obviously, if you take, we like to say, when you start out with a piece of property, you have a bundle of rights, like like a bundle of sticks. And if you take away some of that bundle, it certainly does impact the value of the property. There are programs that will compensate you for that loss, and that's one of the programs that we administer as far as grants. Now, that goes to the landowner that places the easement on the property and not subsequent landowners. The other thing that a landowner can realize from this is an IRS charitable deduction. So there is some compensation available to offset the loss in value. Unfortunately, there is also a Minnesota law that says that county assessors can't take the existence of a conservation easement into consideration when they're calculating property taxes. So they're, you know, we'll be right up front about the fact that there really is not typically a break for property taxes.
So, Annie, why do you think conserving our personal land like this, or just conservation in general, why does it matter to northern Minnesota?
Yeah, thanks, Heidi. Well, in our area, within the next 25 years, our area is projected to increase 10 to 20% in our population. So we have a lot of people that are moving in, which is wonderful because people who are moving in probably appreciate the land in this beautiful northern Minnesota area. But with that in mind, it means that we need to be a lot more intentional about the way that we're using our land and using our land resources and developing along our beautiful, pristine waters. So the work that Northern Waters Land Trust is doing is really providing an option for landowners who want to conserve personally on their land. And it's an incredible way to be able to do it within your own property and within your own life.
This is for you, John. Part of the process of doing a conservation easement is, of course, when we start out, we have to know what's on the property, because when the people come to Heidi's place and they want to determine, you know, are things the way they were, we do what we call a baseline assessment of the property. And in essence, what that is a phenology report. We report on exactly what we find. And then people go back year after year after year and make sure that and observe those same things or other things that maybe exist on the property. So we look at all the flora and fauna and do a really exhaustive report. And a really quick story. One of the first conservation easements I was ever involved in was with Camp Olson YMCA camp just south of Longville. And this was in 1999. In 1973, naturalist and photographer Les Blacklock had done a biological assessment of the camp. And in one area that we were part of, which we were doing an easement on, he found a rare strawberry. And John, you would help me out here. I think he said an alpine strawberry. But it was a very, very rare small white strawberry. Mm-hmm. And so we went back 26 years later and we followed his directions and we went down the trail and on the left-hand side, there they were. So they were, you know, 26 years later, we were still able, because of his description, to find where those were located. So that's the kind of thing. I mean, that's one of the, you know, if you will, a kind of a side benefit of doing one of these things, is you really are able to keep track of what's going on in the natural world.
That's very encouraging. I'm curious. I own 40 acres. How large a parcel does a person have to own in order to file a conservation easement? I mean, is there a minimum?
Economy is a scale, John, because of all the incredible amount of upfront work and there is money set aside to provide for ongoing maintenance and defense, if necessary, of an easement. It really doesn't make financial sense to do an easement on an area much smaller than 20 acres.
Okay.
Okay. If there's an incredible rare resource kind of situation, if it's a fin or it's, you know, it's something that's really rare or really unique, We have gone down smaller, maybe 10 acres, but much smaller than that. But we would take your 40 acres, John. We'd be happy to do a conservation easement on that.
We just got another question from a listener who wants to know if the land is transferred to a public agency, can they conduct timber harvest on it, or are the tenants of the easement still in effect?
They're asking about an easement, Heidi?
Yeah, if it's transferred to a public agency.
Okay, so that would be, in other words, if it was a fee title acquisition.
Yeah.
The short answer would be let's say it was transferred to the county land department or to DNR, Division of Forestry. They would manage that according to their overall management plan. So they may or may not, depending on its status, they may or may not do timber management on it. My guess is that they probably would. But it would be done in accordance with their timber management, overall timber management plan. So public land is managed as public land.
A conservation easement on my property wouldn't preclude timber management.
There would be a vegetation management plan developed in conjunction with the easement in concert with your wishes, John. If you wanted to manage for old growth timber, that's how the plan would be developed. But if you had, say, merchantable aspen or something on it that you would anticipate harvesting in the future, then that would be reflected in the plan.
That sounds very good. I can't imagine why people wouldn't jump at the opportunity.
That's right.
You can find more information on Northern Water Land Trust at their website. It's northernwaterslandtrust.org. And you guys will be chatting with you next month as well. What other kind of topics do you want to talk about in terms of conservation in the future?
We would love to dive a little bit more into, we talked a lot about conservation easements today. We'll talk a little bit more about fee title acquisitions. Also bring on someone who has personal experience similar to you, Heidi, who has a conservation easement on their property. We're also going to bring one of our board members on to talk a little bit about that side, as well as someone from our conservation committee to talk more about specific conservation strategies that we have going forward.
Also, the organization that you're familiar with, Heidi, the Minnesota Land Trust, who are our conservation partners in a lot of our projects. So we'll be having somebody from them on.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's John Sumption and Annie Johnson from the Northern Waters Land Trust. If you want more information or you have questions for us to ask them, you can send it our way, comments@kexe.org. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you.
Happy.